Well, good morning, church. Happy New Year. Hopefully you had a great Christmas time and New Year's, like over two. Here we are. But pray you had a great New Year's. My prayer today for us, really for this year, is to walk in expectancy of what God wants to do in this new year. We were praying before our first service, and I believe God wants to do something in us and deeper in us in this next year, and something new. And so that's my prayer for us as we walk into this next year, to walk in expectancy, whether good, bad, or indifferent. I believe he wants us to be deeper rooted in him. And so I'm excited to do that. We have a full slate of teaching this coming year. Coming weeks, we'll talk about worship, mission, and community in these weeks ahead. Our realign around our core values, and we're going to continue Hebrews through Easter after that. And then after Easter, we're going to be teaching on, this sort of asking for a friend series, these cultural questions. Hey, does gender really matter? Is porn really that bad? And all these different questions within our cultural moment we find ourselves in. How does the scripture talk through that? We'll go through Ruth and Ephesians to finish out our year. But I'm really excited for what God wants to reveal to us through his word and in the life we find ourselves in this year. So I'm excited to see what God will do in us. But as Max shared, I want to break down for us today this word we often use within church and Christian culture at large as this idea of discipleship. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been following Jesus for 20 years, and I've heard the word discipleship thrown around and with varied definitions throughout my time in following Jesus. Like, I've heard, like, discipleship is mentoring, and maybe. Well, it's going to church. Well, maybe. It's reading scripture and being in a Bible study. Maybe. It's all these things and thrown together and within the experiences of life. Maybe. The reason why I say maybe is because it's based on the motivation, not based on the activity. And oftentimes within churches, we made discipleship based on activity instead of the motivation that spurs the activity. And so I want to unpack that for us, define it for what it means in our context, our way, rather than what some other authors or some idea of someone else says. What does it mean from church leadership here at Grace Community Church, and what are we going to pursue as it relates to discipleship here? And so I'll define it at a broad level, but worship, mission, and community will help us define it on the ground for what that looks like for our lives as we walk in this community of faith in the next 3 weeks after today. About 3 years ago, right before we moved down here, my daughter said, "Hey, I want to play softball," and she was in third grade at the time. And it was third and fourth grade softball, and they did not have enough coaches at the time. And so my friend Lenny and I, we raised our hands. And if you want anything, there's few things more sanctifying than coaching youth sports. All right, my daughter said, "Hey," she played, and we got to coaching, and it was a developmental year for her. And what I mean is, we lost almost every game. And my friend Lenny and I just got back from New York, but I talked to him when I was there, and we noticed three things, actually three subsets of girls in this third and fourth grade softball league. And again, it was half coach pitch, half real pitch, so it's a really long time because they're learning how to get it across the plate. But three groups of girls we learned about during that time, and just really groups of players at large. And there's ones that we call these otherworld girls. Like, they were in the outfield and they weren't in the game at all. They were doing like cartwheels in the outfield, still picking flowers, still sitting down, and you're like, there's people batting. We actually have a goal here. They were in another world and cared less about being where they were, right? There is these other world girls. The second group of girls was the there but don't really care. And what I mean by that is, like, they're there, they're catching, they're learning, but they don't really care at all to be there. They're there in body, and they're actually participating in the game, but they don't go in any way, shape, or form to grow or learn. And so they would rather be 14 other places than on the field at that moment, but they're there in body. They made the decision to actually be there, or their parents forced them to be there, and they are there, but they don't really care. And then you have the third set, which are the learners, the ones that actually, like, were like, "Thank you, Lord." The ones who want to learn the game, who want to for you to share critique and criticism so that they can grow, that go back and they actually practice and learn from their failures and different things. And throughout the year, they're the ones that grow exponentially from beginning of year to the end of the year. We learned that during our time, and it tested our patience. And what we also learned is that there's buckets. The other world girls were about a quarter of them, the 50% in the middle that said, hey, we were there, but we don't really care. And the last 25% of learners that really wanted to go deeper and learn and progress, and they did. And thinking of discipleship, that example came to mind because that's really the picture of the church as it relates to discipleship. There's part of people in this room, just to be honest, that are otherworld. They come to church in this idea of thinking they're saved, but they're really not. They do the right activities, but not are motivated by love and aren't regenerated by the Spirit of God. There's a subset of people in this room, and I just being frank, across, as it relates to church at large, that are here, but don't really, like there, but don't really care. They made a decision to follow Christ, but that's where it's ended. But there's another subset of people that are learners, the ones that want to go deeper, that want to walk in the way of Jesus and discover what that means and become more into the image of God today and cultivate the ground of their own hearts by the Spirit of God. That is the aspect, that is the idea of discipleship. And I want to encounter what the Spirit of God wants to do in us, to encounter the love of God so we are stirred to be learners of who God is. I mean, we share the mission, Max just shared it, as of Grace Community Church, is to be and make disciples for the glory of God. But oftentimes, that's just a vague statement that sounds really good, but we don't engage it at all. And I think we don't engage it because we also don't understand what a disciple truly is. Like, how can we make a disciple if we're undefined on that? And what does discipleship look like? Like, we read the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the commands and observe them, right? But what does that mean? We often just say that and we start at the end, but I want to start at the beginning as it relates to discipleship for the first call of the disciples, because I think the first call shows what the aspect and the definition of discipleship today for. So if you would open to Matthew 4, and we're going to be reading verses 18 through 22. And while you navigate there, one of the things I want to put before us is the definition. It's a simple definition, but this is what Grace Community Church defines discipleship as, and what is that? It's this. Discipleship is the intentional choice to walk in the way of Jesus. Discipleship is the intentional choice to walk in the way of Jesus. Each word of that definition matters, and we're going to break that down today while looking at the response of the first disciples. It'll be on the screens, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles in this new year. It's just something about having a physical Bible so you can write in and bring that along. But if you don't, well, the words are on the screen for you. The narrative in the text says this: while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Their response, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You see, we've read this text before, if you've been in church circles. And what is happening here? Well, right preceding this, Jesus is baptized by John. Holy Spirit falls on Jesus, confirms who he is. Jesus is sent out to the desert where Satan tempts him, but he overcomes and his ministry begins. And what is Jesus' first words before this in Matthew? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Intentionally choose to turn from your sin, for I am here. And then what does Jesus do in this text that we just read? He calls his first disciples. He calls them. Why does this calling, him calling them, matter to these men and women? Why does it matter? Because if you know anything about first century Judaism, discipleship was student initiated by the best of the best Jewish men. Like, they would go to a rabbi and ask, hey, can I learn from you? Can I walk with you? That was discipleship in their eyes back then. But what does Jesus do here? He flips the script on discipleship at large. He initiates the discipleship process, much like he pursues us today with the gospel of salvation first and invites us to walk with him. He is the one doing the initiating. But what happens from happens next from this text is important. These average people, to be fair, like you and me, blue collar, nothing special. In this case, they make an intentional choice. They say, I am going to follow with what's ahead, even if I don't. They didn't even have any picture of what was to come. They didn't know the narrative of the gospel pages that we get to be beneficiaries of today. It just says what? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. They intentionally chose. They said, hey, I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. I want to walk with you. Help us to trust you. They intentioned their lives and they got out of their comfort, out of their boat. Why does this matter for us? Because we don't by nature drift towards discipleship of Jesus. We by nature drift to self, drift to sin, drift to the way I want my life to be. We drift towards our wants, our picture. And what these disciples begin to reveal to us is that discipleship is an intentional choice that we must say day in, day out by the grace of God. God, we see your love. We change us, help us walk. Discipleship simply, guys, is an intentional choice. It's an intentional choice. In thinking of the intention and things we often do with great intention, I was thinking about this idea to explain this idea further. Some of you know my wife, Alexa, but we were dating for 2 years. And after dating for 2 years, we got to think about marriage and things like that. But if I went up to my wife after dating her for 2 years and just randomly, without any thought, say, you want to get married? Like, and didn't have a ring, didn't have anything, like, What do you think she would think about how I approached that big life-changing question, right? Do you think she would feel like valued? No, like I have no plan. It's an afterthought. It was like it didn't really matter. It was transactional. But the narrative goes, when I got married to my wife, I intentionally saved up for a ring. I planned where we were going to be on the beach where we first met up in New York. And if you think of New York and you're like beach, it's Great Lakes, that not actual beach on the Florida the coast or anything. But we met at the beach there. I proposed there. I had a party of friends and family back at the house that she was surprised by. I had the whole thing intentioned and planned. And what was that communicating to her? It was communicating relationship. It was communicating that I'm valuing her. There was intention in my choices that led up to the proposal, and it meant something deep, and the cost was there. It cost something. You see, what is the difference between these two approaches? They are both two choices to ask her to marry me, but one is merely mechanical. The other is personal and relational and motivated by love and has a cost to it. The reason I share that is because we live in a time and space where in some cases following Jesus is reduced to a quick decision, a get out of hell free card, and then it stops there. It becomes casual, almost transactional, like deciding simply another decision like where are we going to eat for lunch today? That's what it has become. Because it's a choice without intention, without surrender, without real heart change, we don't actually grow. We may even attend church regularly, join a group, go to a Bible study, even have community. But we never truly place ourselves where our lives are confronted by Jesus' commands. We often rarely ask, am I becoming a more loving husband? Where is my heart still hidden? What needs to be brought into the light with others? We serve out of habit, not out of love. But what Jesus invites each and every one of us into is not a mechanical decision, but an intentional relational choice to leave what's comfortable, known, and safe, and follow him with our whole lives. It's an intentional choice. Any of you feel that tension of maybe wanting Jesus and, like these disciples, having, should I stay in the boat or not? Is it safe? What's it gonna cost? Any of you want forgiveness but not disruption? Want grace but not surrender? Want Jesus to save you but not necessarily to lead you? Because that's the moment Matthew 4 presses on us. And you see, these men, these women didn't have all of the answers, the ones that followed Jesus. They didn't know where this rabbi would take them, but they knew enough to trust the one who called them. And they immediately got out of the boat. You see, discipleship is not drifting towards Jesus. It's deciding again and again by the grace of God to get out of the boat and follow. Discipleship is an intentional choice. And that leads me to my second part of the definition. It's discipleship is an intentional choice to what? To walk in the way of Jesus. Walk in the way of Jesus. You see, when the disciples were called by Jesus, they intentionally chose to get out of the boat. Yes, they did. But what did they do? They walked with Jesus daily and for those few years. They walked with him. At points, they wanted to run ahead with their ideas, their thoughts, their hang-ups, who's the greatest, their ideas for what the kingdom of God should be like or what they thought it would be like, their brokenness. And Jesus walked with these men and women and say, hey, come back. Walk with me. Abide in me. Love me above your mother, your father, your husband, your children. That's the way to follow me. What was Jesus doing in messaging this? He was saying to the disciples, I love you, but I want your whole life. Not just the shiny parts of who you are, not just better morals. I want your hurts. I want your doubts. I want your finances. I want how you treat your body. I want your scars. I want to walk with you in and through all of that, to restore you, to heal you, to grow you, to deploy you to show my love to others. And here's the thing, no, it's a walk, not a run. And learn from me daily and for a lifetime. He's saying the cost of discipleship is a life surrendered to me in all areas of your heart and life. Daily and lifelong discipleship. Friends of mine, some men here, they shared with me some of the things as they walked towards Jesus together. They shared this really cool idea. It's like that I'm going to be integrating in my life. But here's what they do. They used to get together every week and talk about this laundry list of the areas of their life they want to bring under the submission of Jesus. But now they get together two times throughout the year for probably around a day and a half. And here's what they do. They say, hey, they share, hey, this is here's where my finances are. Here's my budget. Here's my giving. Here's where I want to go. Here's how I'm serving in the community. They put their finances before the Lord and one another and say, how can I grow better in this? They talk through their parenting. They talk through, hey, what are each of the kids that we have and how are they meant to be parented and how are you stewarding that? Parenting focuses they want through the year. They talk about how they're stewarding their time. How are they working? How are they serving in the community? How are they resting and have personal Sabbath? They talk about their marriages. How are they prioritizing their spouse? Are they going on dates every week, every other week, spending time to cultivate so that when they don't have kids, they still have a marriage? They talk about how they're walking in their spiritual journey, their time in prayer with the Lord, reading the word, new things God is showing them. They talk about their physical health. Heads up, your physical health is an opportunity to worship God. How am I working out? How am I eating? They talk about their struggles and sin patterns and where they've fallen short. They do this intentionally each and every year, multiple times throughout the year. Why? Why? Because they're bringing all of their whole being under the lordship of God to walk towards him in this life with intention. Not because of how great they are, but because that is motivated by the love of Jesus and wanting to bring every area there. That is discipleship. That's intentional choice to walk in the way of Jesus, and that's countercultural. That's countercultural. And this is a daily, lifelong journey to be a learner walking in the way of Jesus. Like I shared, the issue, and really church at large has contributed to this narrative, but we've boiled discipleship to be a program we do and a process we go through. We've boiled it down to a program we want to get you in, or you have believed it's just what I do in activity rather than a whole life of surrender to Jesus and walking in his way. Like, hey, go to church, I'm being discipled. Oh, go show up at a coffee with one, I'm being discipled. Right? Be in a Bible. I'm not saying these are bad things, but we often do these things thinking we're being intentional or trying to, but motivated by the wrong things. If I don't do them, I won't be whole. No, the motivation of the heart matters in these things. It's not a program. It's a person that we need to walk and follow. It is a daily and lifelong surrender into the love of Christ and walking in his way. Yes, we do that through spiritual disciplines, but it's so much more than that. And as I think about this year, like I said, my prayer for us is that this is a place that madly loves God. Madly loves God, not in a transactional way, but in a personal and relational with the God of the universe, and to walk towards Jesus. It's a place that takes scripture and that doesn't just consume it merely mechanically, but takes what I say and crosses it with the word of God yourself and discerns what the truth of God's word and how it applies to my life. Takes our finances and say, God, here it is. Here's my 2026. What is your plan for my finances, not what my plan is for it? That we step into the whole surrender of God in a walking in the way of his love this year. Help me to be a better mother, father, spouse, student. Send me to places to that where I need to forgive, where I don't want to. Heal my wounds that have been done to me. Where do I need to walk through, or what counseling do I need to get under to cultivate and grow from the places that I've been deformed and be reformed into the image of God that you've created me and called me to be? And I don't want to take Matthew, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, just nonchalantly. I want to take it seriously as a people to share the love of God with others and not just talk about it. Experience it and share it and give it away. And I want us, church, because I think God is calling us to deeper discipleship, where we, like these first discipleships, is to get uncomfortable and intentionally choose with every area of our lives to walk in the way of Jesus in this next year. Like, this is a broad idea that we're talking about today, but within worship, mission, and community, our core values, we'll talk about how we do this on a ground level as us, as a church, as a family of God, how we're walking towards this idea of discipleship. But before we take communion, which I think is a pertinent way to step into the new year, I wanna say, how do we get there? How do we get there as a community of faith? And simply, there's three ways. And the only three ways we're going to get there. One, surrender to God's love for you in Jesus. Like, God created us in his image to walk with him, to push back darkness, to know him and to be in a relationship with him. But Genesis 3 happened. Adam's sin, what happened? It didn't just break our relationship with God. It destroyed all of humanity and creation to be deformed outside of the image of God. But God, in his great love, through sending his son, paid for our sin that we deserve death from and provided redemption through him and only him. We can't right ourselves. Jesus was sent as the one who can redeem us to form us back into the image we were created in. But it didn't just stop at the cross. He invites us into restoration, to cultivate the garden again, to push back darkness here and now. Not only heal our insides, but through us to heal the world around us by his grace. But the fact is, we have to surrender if we want to walk in deeper discipleship. Surrender to God's saving grace in Christ. So the way we walk deeper in discipleship is, number one, surrender to God's love for you in Jesus, and it's empowered by the Spirit of God. When we submit to Jesus as Savior and as Lord, we are indwelt by his Holy Spirit to walk these things out, not in our own power, but in his power. And we position our lives around that. So we do remembering as a way to grow deeper into who he is. We do Bible study in a way to come around with other people to discover who he is. Not mechanical, not transactional, but relational, because we want to know the Savior. But it's all empowered by his Spirit to walk out of sin and into newness of life in deeper and truer ways. And lastly, and we'll talk about this more, it's lived out in community. Deeper discipleship doesn't just come in isolation, but with others. These two men that I shared with you, iron sharpening iron, God gives us one another as grace to walk towards him. So if you are walking by yourself, I don't believe we're walking in the fullness of what God has for us if we're walking just in isolation. He wants a deeper discipleship with other people around us, maybe through these means or other aspects of community, but he wants us to walk this out, a deeper discipleship with other people. And so when thinking, usually the first Sunday of the month, we do communion, and I think, what a beautiful time to stop and think, God, where do you want to grow me in you in this next year? When was the last time you actually stopped and thought for a moment, but Lord, hey, where do you have me growing in you this year? What area is not submitted to the extent that it should be? Is your marriage on autopilot? Is what you're doing vocationally on autopilot and you're just merely just going through the regular rhythms? Or are you bringing to God and saying, hey, Lord, stir my heart for where you want to do deeper work in me? And it's only by the finished work of Christ, empowered by his Spirit, that we actually walk towards those ends. So I thought, what greater moment to share than communion at the beginning of this year together? And so would you, for the next 15 to 20 seconds, not that long a time, I know, but just still your hearts before the Lord and say, Lord, where are you? What is not surrendered to you that you would have me surrender to you today? And then we'll take the cup together, the body and blood today. Just take a few minutes. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, repeats these words of Jesus as it relates to communion. I want to read from them as we take the bread and the cup today. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" That word "for," you should circle today. It's for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Church, let us take this bread today in remembrance of Jesus being for us. Goes on to say, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, the one that I have done for you and you didn't effort yourself to do. This is the new covenant in my blood. do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Church, let us take the cup today in remembrance of all he has done for us. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you that you created us in your image. Out of your great love for us, you created us to share that love with us. And even though sin was chosen, and that still has effects to this day, that you sent out of your great love, Jesus, your only son, to walk perfectly like we should have, to die sacrificially on our behalf like we deserve to die, to rise again in power and to overcome sin, death, and the grave, and your resume can become our resume if we surrender to you. But let it not just be a decision, a transaction, but let it be a lifelong daily discipleship as we walk in your love and walk with you, being an intention choice day in, day out, over a long life that we pray you give us, God. But help empower us. Help us surrender to your Spirit's work today. Cause sin to be uprooted out of our hearts and to let us live into the abundant life you've created us and reform us back into the image we were created in, the image of you. And God, help us to walk not only today, but in the weeks, months, years ahead, as long as you give us, let us walk in the way of Jesus with intention and not merely transaction. God, and if there's people here today that do not know you, I pray they just don't play the game, but they know the greatness of your love and are motivated to be learners and grow in that way. God, we need you. We love you. Transform our hearts today. Let us know that it's because of your cross that we have life and not our own. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.